The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
A weary traveler was in a strange city, and he met an old friend, and he said, "Old friend, I have not seen you in low these many years. I haven't seen you in high in many years either." You must have been a neutral for a long time there. I spoiled the whole mood. I'm sorry. And he said, anyway, he said, kind of a fancy version of, he said, "Well, I haven't seen you in a long time. I'd like to come up to your house and visit with you tonight." And he says, "How do I get to your house?" So his old friend looked at him and he said these words, "Here's how you get to my house.
When you walk through the Bronx, hold your head up high and look for a sign, Fordham Road. Soon you'll come to a store that sells pizza pie, and you'll know that you're near my abode. Turn left, walk two blocks, turn right, cross the street, and no matter where you roam, walk on, walk on, walk on through the Bronx, 'cause tonight I won't be home. Tonight I won't be home.
Look out, because here it comes. I thought I saw it coming. I just had this ringing in my ears that said, "Here it comes. I know I hear it. I know it's on the way. Here it comes." And I'm telling you, in this event, in that event, and in all events, certainly in this event. What is it? I think it's this. Wait. In that case, in this case, and in every case, coming up. Probably one of the more serious things I ever did in my life. Without my pants. So come on, everyone. You will be there, and we will be there with you when you are there. What is it?
Cthulhu Chronicles.
Springtime. Springtime.
Haste
haste, come hither from the furrow and be meadow, you sunburnt sickleman. Spring is here, and neo-postmodernism takes over your radio. As the bards, it's plural tonight, the bards of broadcasting, come about. Wake up, it's night! That's right, Netarati, couple surfers, netaholics, and infomaniacs. Time to be curious yellow and curious green. I still like this. I listen to it. I don't know why I don't get tired of this. Oh, Y2K plus 14. It's the first day of spring if you're listening live. If you died, you're not hearing anything. I mean if you're listening to this as we do it. Not only many other great stations. Tom Savino's with me for a Savino Cotolo celebration of spring and lots of other things. So stay with us. We'll have fun. We don't know what we're going to do. Why should you? Get over yourself. Now in Mandarin.
冰球到冰球,小村到大市, 咸濕屋仔到咸濕中心, 是 Cotolo Chronicles.
Ice cap, shut up. From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into everybody. I can't help it, Tom. I'm doing all this by myself, you know?
Oh, yeah?
As usual. This is it, you know? I run the board. I get bored of the run. I do the whole deal here. And that's what. But I'm great.
Where's your sidekick?
I get no kicks in the side tonight. I had nobody, nothing at all.
No kicks in the side. Wow.
Not kicks in the side. Not even those. Well, not even the ones
from 3,000 miles away. I'll have to be your sidekick, or well, almost 3,000 miles away.
Yeah, it's good. I'm glad. I'm absolutely happy to be here with you. It feels like you're in the same room. And they don't know this, but we could see each other. Could you see? You can see me?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, right. I can see you. That's, how you doing?
I get the crappiest little camera in the world. Wasn't that a play?
Well,
the crappiest little
the
camera.
The crappiest little camera in the world.
In Dallas or whatever. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And tonight, Mr. Tom Savino is with us. He's the man.
Don't use
the title of the other part of the show there. And he's with us through the magic of this great new technology that we have here. Let me go through a couple of things, Tom, and then we'll talk about whatever we're going to talk about, which everyone is so excited to listen to about.
I hope so.
I said this last week, and I'll say it again because it's next week. I just found out last week, but on the March of the 27th, next week, Kurt Brando will be here from his home in the United Arab Emirates.
Who is that?
Kurt Brando.
Kurt Brando.
Kurt Brando was, and he's a funny guy, Tom. He was a humor columnist in Alaska. I think was it Alaska? Hawaii. Oh, was it Hawaii? Boy, how could you get those two confused? It was either the hot place or the cold place. Anyway, he was he's called the Digital Slob, and he had a very popular podcast at one time, and he's a great he's a funny guy. This guy came to this show before Twitter was popular and told us about Twitter. He's always on the cutting edge of all this stuff. Well, he's going to be talking because he's really into it, and we're going to learn all there is to learn about it and learn it with a laugh. Learn it with a laugh. There's another.
Learn it with a laugh. Yeah.
Learn it with a laugh. Bitcoins. You hear about those?
Yes. I've heard about Bitcoins.
Nobody knows.
That's one of the few traps I haven't fallen into in my life.
No one knows more about it than Kurt Brando. So he's going to stay up really late or get up really early, one or the other, because the time difference is immense. He lives and works. He's a journalist, and he works for a online newspaper in the United Arab Emirates.
Wow.
And he's a kid from Louisiana.
Is he CIA?
No.
Actually, he wouldn't admit to it if he were.
He were, he wouldn't, and he doesn't, and he won't, so he can't. But he will be here. So, and we've been trying to get him on for a long, long time since, for a while. Now, I thought I had, well, I know Dr. Woldar said sometime in April he will be back. Dr. Woldar and Skylar Hall. This is our version of the Big Bang Theory, except for me. Except for me. I'm like the idiot. I'm like Penny. You know, because I'm the idiot compared to these guys. So Dr. Woldar, Sky will probably be around there too. We're also going to have a Cambodian Cocktails Chronicles. This is something I thought about. This is going to be fun. And maybe you could even join in on this one too, Tom.
In April, a Cambodian Cocktail
Chronicles.
Chronicles.
Okay. People asked me, they said, why don't you sit at the piano one night and just, like, you know, make up songs and talk and maybe do a real song or do not real, you know, whatever.
Ah.
Because not everybody gets to see me and or my son like they will tomorrow night. Anybody in town? I'm over at St. Thomas Roasters. It's live, Cotolo Chronicles with music tomorrow night at St. Thomas Roasters in Linglestown.
Wow.
But we're gonna
wish I were there.
So, yeah, I wish you were too because once in a while we do one of your songs. Tom, accomplished songwriter, Mrs. Savino.
Oh, thank you very much. I may be getting back to that someday.
That day should be near. It should be near.
It's coming real close.
The world needs.
That's close enough.
The world needs Savino songs more than you'd know. But anyway, I said I was asked by Phil Hong, who runs the joint around here, and he said, why don't you sit down and do a show where you sit down, do a little cocktail hour. I said, that'd be fun. I said, but I want to get my piano in tune. And he said, no. He said, do it like the Cambodians do it. And I was like, everything's out of tune.
Oh, okay.
The pitch is off and everything. And I went, well, that's right up my alley. I know if there's I never need to work anywhere. I'll go to Cambodia. And, I'll sing by.
One of my students brought in a guitar yesterday and, we started playing it and, I taught him a easy progression, a blues progression, because I just so happen to have in my briefcase, as I carry around, four blues harps of various tuning. And I'm teaching him this progression in A, and I pull out my blues harp that would go with that, and I start playing. And it's like, whoa, what's going on? And it turns out that he likes to tune his guitar down.
Oh, that's what I have.
Half a step, you know. And I said, oh, great.
You know, I tune mine down. We tune a whole step down. You people out there who study music might know what we're talking about. You know what I found out, Tom? I found out that as high as my voice still sounds, I lost a little range, and I have to. So when I tune it down.
Okay,
it's exciting.
That's good. Yeah, except
you get screwed up. You get screwed up with the
impromptu blues thing, and
no, the harp you get all screwed up because I go like, well, wait a second, do you have a capo on? I got the capo on the third fret. What are we playing in? And Jack goes, where are we? Yeah. Get me a harmonica. I don't know. Get me an E flat. I'll be somewhere. I'll find it. But anyway,
listen, though, when you, at least, this time, it'll be warm. I don't know how you played in, January or,
outside.
New Year's Day.
Oh, we're not going to be outside. We'll be inside we'll be inside tomorrow night.
Well, that's great.
You know, but, we did, I know that was terrible. That was really horrible. I mean, it sounded okay, but man, we lost our feeling for a long time.
Yeah, you know? I can't imagine. Have a hard enough time strumming chords here in 70-degree freezing weather. That's about as cold as it gets here.
It was like 12 degrees, and he said, play with a little feeling. I have no feeling. I'm numb. luckily, we made everybody else numb. Now, and here's what else is happening in April, hopefully, or maybe the beginning of May. I don't know if you know about this, Tom, but a good friend of ours and the show, Robin Matthews, was going to come on the show, and then she was nominated for an Oscar.
Oh.
And so she said, I was going to rerun some stuff that she did before. And she said, no, wait. She said, wait till the ceremony, and then we'll see what happens. I'll come on afterwards. Well, she won. She won.
Wow.
She won an Oscar for makeup for the Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, I saw her. I'm an avid Oscar yeah. watcher.
Oh, okay. She's the blonde on the,
yeah.
Yeah. That's Robin. And, so I was in touch with Robin afterwards. She's, she was really busy before and she's really busy after. So I gave her a couple of weeks and then she said, okay, so we're going to set a date when she could be here live and have a whole bunch of fun with the Oscars. She's not the first Oscar winner we have had on this show.
Wasn't she nominated for two things this year? And
I don't know. Was there another one?
She had a good shot of winning and she won.
I thought it was just that. I don't know what else she does. If you do makeup and then what else would you do?
I don't know. Just dresses or something or I don't know. She's funny, isn't she? Like haha funny.
She's pleasant and funny. I don't know that she's ha ha funny. That's right, ha ha funny. Robin Matthews who will be here.
I look forward to that. I'll definitely.
If you're ha ha funny,
I'll tune into that.
If you're ha ha funny, there's only one show you want to be on, right here. So Robin, that should take care of April, and God knows what else is going on. Then of course we'll be into May, and it's really gonna it gets crazier from there. So that's gonna happen. So if Robin, she just got to figure out when she could get onto her Skype, because once you win an Oscar, the next day, I'm told, the next week or what have you, there's just scripts everywhere. I mean, people are just sending you tons of stuff. And,
yeah, it's a strange business. It's strange.
But there you go. So Robin Matthews will be here, and if we're lucky, she'll bring her husband, Batman Matthews. I'm tired of that joke already. I go to Red Robin, and you go sit down and then ask the people, I said, I came here tonight because I didn't want to go to Batman Robin. And they don't know what that Red Batman. I said, I don't want to go to Red Batman. And they just, what's amazing, Tom, how few people, I think this is what happens. I think people hear something and even though it's funny, they don't respond by laughing because they go, what if that person is serious? And, I don't want to think I'm laughing at them.
Well, that's actually happened to me where I would be laughing and the person was serious and, the old putting your foot in your mouth thing.
So, but what the person said was funny to you?
Yeah, I thought it was funny, but the person was very serious.
Wow, yeah, that's what I mean.
And
yeah.
Turned out to be...
That can be a problem.
Not very funny for anybody.
Well, that's happened to me, too.
My cough button.
A good way to not have that happen is just to laugh right away. Just laugh at the person and then go on. Just move on with the conversation.
That's pretty much an axiom of my life. keep moving on.
Keep moving on. Yes. Yes.
Moving targets are hard to hit.
Trotting through. Last week I was telling everyone that I thought it would be great because everybody has kind of a name, not a name, but kind of a title. I don't have a title. And I said, last week I decided, I would like to be like Commander Cotolo. Commander, something about the word and the title. Commander Cotolo instead of Mr. or Señor if you're Spanish. I don't know. But then again, you could say it, they say it in English, or Monsieur if you're French, which is still Mr. And what happened, because I already, popped that BARDA broadcasting thing last year because I felt like, look, if the Rolling Stones could say they're the greatest rock and roll band in the world, and they're the ones who said that, and then all of a sudden everybody was saying it, so, right? And if Howard Stern could say he was the king of all media, and then everybody called him the king of all media, you could call yourself anything, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So I got the BARDA. So I became the BARDA of broadcasting.
Everybody else from calling you things.
Exactly. Or they laugh at you first.
Yes.
But I just wanted to mention that people who had heard it and people were sending me some emails and addressed Dear Commander Cotolo. So I'm very happy about that.
Commander Cotolo, okay.
When my first child was going to be born, someone said to me, what do you want to call? What do you want him to call? Well, we knew it was a him, Jack. What do you want him to be called? What do you want to be called by your son? Is he your son? You want to be called like daddy or father or dad or papa? I said, no, I said, I'm just going to say, just call me Zeus.
Well, you know. You
we
know,
don't my, have a laugh track, okay?
My older sister, you
yes.
know her.
Yes.
I guess. And she routinely changes her name. I mean, she goes through periods of, she started out Margaret. Then she was Marge. And then she was Midge. And the last maybe 10, 12 years now, she's been Margot.
Now, did she come into the room like one day and went or didn't answer to Midge anymore and said, like, I'm sorry, I'm not Midge anymore, I'm Margot? Or did had that happen?
Actually, almost exactly that way.
Wow.
She did.
Don't
yeah.
call me Marge, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was she would correct us, you know, and tell us that it's Margot now.
Wow, it's Margot now, isn't
it? And I haven't talked to her for a while. I have to.
Well, you don't know
if she still is Margot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
mean, maybe you go call her up and go, "Hi, is Margot there?" And then it's her, and
oh.
you know her voice.
Oh.
And you know, I'm Margarita now. Imagine if she changed her.
Yeah, that'd
she's
be cool.
Spanish
took over, an accent.
I'm Margarita now. Margarita. Me, I'm doing Dracula, meanwhile, which is, I shouldn't be doing Dracula when saying, I'm Margarita now. Am I doing Dracula? Or you?
No, that was a good Dracula.
Well, you know, a lot of people who don't know Bela Lugosi say, hey, that's a really good, that's a really, now I forgot his name, and my name just flew off. Who won, speaking of Oscars, who won an Oscar for playing Bela Lugosi? What was his name? In, come on, you're an Oscar guy.
Was it Frank Langella?
No. For playing Bela Lugosi.
For playing Bela Lugosi.
In the Ed Wood movie.
Okay.
Why is his name?
Escaping. Okay, I remember Ed Wood.
Pat.
And yeah,
what was
I
his name?
Can look that up. Let me look it up.
Get an email. Yeah, you look it up, Bobby. Get an email. I can't believe this. I saw him last week too. He was in Crimes and Misdemeanors. I saw him in that one. And he's he was on the Mission Impossible guy. He was the Mission Impossible guy.
All right. Let's see. Ed Wood. Here we go. Johnny Depp. Martin Landau.
Of course, Martin Landau.
Landau, who I was shopping with him at Trader Joe's once.
There you go. And that was him. Did he have one? Yeah. Okay. I got a lot of those once.
Probably a lot of jokes there, but I
can't think of them. Martin Landau. And yet, I always thought that was weird. Here's a guy who wins an Academy Award for playing a guy who never won an Academy Award.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. I don't know. The world is a strange place to live in. But it's the only world we have.
That sounds like the theme of a show. Actually, we could actually do a chronicles on
what?
On I don't know. I don't know if there's enough of it, but people who won Academy Awards or are noted for playing people who never won anything.
People who played people who played people. You see what spring does to you? People who played people who won Academy? I don't know if there's enough of those. Are there? I can't even think of one more
saying.
Now.
my first thought would be it was a good show, and my second thought was, wait a minute.
Now, you could talk nominated.
Maybe a five-minute show.
If you want to talk nominated, you can do that, because here we go. What's his name? The guy, I hate that. I never rehearse, but I'm always prepared. Who's the guy who plays Iron Man?
Robert Downey Jr.
He was nominated for playing Charlie Chaplin in the movie Chaplin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm.
I think Will Smith was nominated for playing Ali.
Ah,
this
there
is,
you go. So
this is starting to domino.
Maybe there.
No, wait a second. So, Kate Blanchett won this year, but she won an Academy Award for playing Audrey Hepburn. No, not Audrey Hepburn. The other, Katharine Hepburn. In The Aviator. So she won one.
Let's check that out.
Check that out. She played Katharine Hepburn in The Aviator. I think that was her first Academy Award, first of two. She won for Blue Jasmine this year.
Yeah.
Did she win?
She was great. Did you see that, by the way?
Yes, wonderful.
That was definitely, she deserved that. Definitely.
Did she win for the Aviator?
Yes.
Yeah, the Aviator.
I'm sorry. She won for Blue Jasmine, yeah.
Did she win for the Aviator? I think she won playing
Catherine
Hepburn.
Let's check that out.
I think she won either best or supporting or best actress. What? Well, best supporting actress for.
I'm going to check it out on the IMBD thing. Come on.
You're on IMBD now, you know, because of the documentary.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I someday I will watch the documentary. I swear I haven't had a minute, you know, let's not even go there.
We don't have to go.
We'll talk about that privately.
And the other thing is there's never a need to apologize for watching. Okay. You know, but did she win again? Can you find that out? Because I got too many windows open here. I'm running this whole show myself.
She won for Blue Jasmine, and she was nominated for Golden Age. Elizabeth, the Golden Age. She didn't win that. She was also nominated for I'm Not There in 2007.
Really? What? I was.
Oh, she was. She did. She won another Oscar. Yeah. She won another
for
Oscar.
The Aviator.
Supporting actress
The Aviator.
Okay.
Whew. Wow. Well, see, but that's good. I'm glad you're here because I couldn't have looked it up. I would have just had to lie and say I knew, which is okay too. Yeah. That's just too. But Commander Cotolo here with what do you want to be known as? What's Savino? Sergeant Savino? Savant? Savino Savant is good.
Savino Savant.
Although that's not a title. Savant.
A title, huh? Once I was a customer service rep at the newspaper and in a funny mood and a very annoyed customer who didn't get her paper called and said, "What's your title?"
Time.
And I said, "Stranger in the night." And I pissed her off more. Possible. She was so pissed off.
See, there's the other situation where you say something that's funny, and they don't laugh because they don't think it's funny.
Right. They don't want know anything funny. They don't want to laugh. They want to just be angry.
You can't fool. No, that was my other motto. You can't please, right? Can't please everyone?
Can't please everyone, so you got it. These are the words to the garden party from Rick Nelson?
Yeah, but he must have stole it from somewhere. I mean, is there a poem or something that says that has that phrase and then he just took it? I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, anyway.
I don't know.
You're on ID. I can never remember those letters.
IMBD?
I can never remember.
IMDB.
The order of those letters, I'm always going.
I don't even know what they stand for. Is it IMDB?
Well, it's Internet Movie Database.
Okay, that makes sense to me. And now that you mention it, but yeah.
Always something to learn here. This is Cotolo Chronicles, and it's a Savino Cotolo Chronicles because Tom is with me here on the first day of spring, Y2K plus 14, and I didn't know that all day. Someone told me later on. I don't know. I didn't even know today because it didn't feel like spring. I went out. It was especially where I am here, and then of course where you are, the changing of the seasons is so subtle.
Oh, but incredibly subtle.
But it does change. They do change. And I spent all day outside looking for that plane. It's nowhere to be found in this neighborhood. I want to tell everyone that right away. I looked everywhere. Spring began with no particular overture here.
Mm-hmm.
And even now it's cold. It's actually cold tonight. Although I think we're done with the snow and everything. I want to tell everyone here right now that they should be doing, of course, if I don't tell them to remind them that it's time to that during the show, as always, replenish your precious bodily fluids with the beverage of your choice. I always have coffee, which is, and how do I like my coffee? You got it. I like it black as hell, strong as death. And
me too.
Bitter as a fried grasshopper leg. Oh, once in a while, sweet as love, because I put sugar, but...
Sugar, huh? You do sometimes?
Yeah, and I drink it the way my father drank coffee. This is my, and for those, every once in a while people ask me, do it when you get the coffee and you're going to drink it on the air. Drink it like your father drank it. And my father drinking hot coffee. It never stopped. That's exactly how he drank every.
Maybe there's a technique of he's a cooling the coffee as he's drinking it.
No, that's maybe he never explained it, but I think he just did that kind of naturally. So what have we been up to at spring? No, so here's spring, and the first thing I was thinking about when talking about spring, and I is because I always think about this. Even when it's not spring, I think about it when the day turns over into another day, or whatever have you. But when the season changes, now speaking of poems, do you remember what is the famous phrase about a young man turns to spring and he loves his pants or something? What is the name? Do you know that one? In the springtime, a young man's fancy turns to love. Maybe that's it. Young man. That's Longfellow or Longsworth. What was the difference between Longsworth and Longsfellow? What there wasn't no there wasn't no there wasn't no that's the Italian guy talking now. There was no there was Longfellow. There's no Longsworth. Wordsworth.
I'm sorry. The poem you're referring to
is
Alfred Lord Tennyson.
I'm completely wrong. It was Tennyson, or as Victor Borger would call him, Elevenson. read the poem.
Three lips, yes.
Not the whole poem. It's about
tiptoe through the three lips.
That's right. Read just that stanza, because.
All right, let's see if I can do that.
I think it's like six or seven down.
I'm going to have to research this for a minute. When a young man's fancy
right.
turns to love.
And the whole phrase is what? This goes back to that other show we did.
I actually have to check that out.
It's like, there's only like four lines per stanza. If you can call them stanzas. Are those stanzas? What's a stanza?
A stanza is like the same, it would be equivalent to a paragraph in a.
Oh, okay.
In an essay.
Well, then those are stanzas. You can't find it.
The last time I taught a poem was, let's not even get there, but.
Really?
They just changed our curriculum thing is like, I don't want to go there. Let's not talk about it. Don't make me talk about it, Frank.
I'm trying to, that was the other one. I keep wondering, I don't like to say that. I don't like to say that. I don't even know where it originated. Who started that? Let's not go there.
Obviously, I've used it twice tonight.
Was it in a movie or was it a
phrase I use a lot, I guess?
Where did that all of a sudden pop up? But let's not go there. And I don't like to say it. I changed.
It would be like in the mode or in the category of just saying, you know.
How does that suddenly become? You know, here's what I tried to do this a while back, and it didn't work too well. I was telling everybody, look, instead of saying that's cool, there's another word. Oh, and instead of saying awesome, I wanted to change awesome. And I told, and a couple of people did it, I guess, here and there. Actually, I have no idea how many people did it. I didn't poll it. I didn't police it. I have no idea what happened. But I said, instead of saying, every time you're going to say awesome, instead say magnificent. I did it. I was doing it. And people looked at me like I was weird, like I was using some word that popped out of a dinosaur egg or something. It's amazing the words that people don't know. And then when people go awesome, they know what you're talking about. They probably wouldn't know the word awesome and how to use it if it didn't become a popular phrase. So when I say magnificent, if everyone was saying magnificent, they would know. But then I go magnificent. What do you mean? Awesome. And then you got to go, awesome.
I mean, awesome.
Didn't
yeah.
work.
Oh, okay. I got it.
You found it?
That, no, I did find at least I found the entire sentence from Tennyson, which it's from. I don't even know what it's from, but it's.
Read
in,
the whole.
In the spring, a young man's fancy lightly turns to thoughts of love.
Now there's another perfect example. It's one of those phrases that is never correctly quoted. Lightly, no one of us says lightly.
Yeah, right? They never say lightly to that fancy. When a young, they just
when a young, yeah,
yeah.
And that's an important word.
Yes,
in there. Lightly turns.
I guarantee you, if he were around today, he'd be saying, "It's lightly
turns." It's lightly turns. That's how he talked, right? Yeah. Wait, is he English? He's British, right?
Yeah.
Go, yeah. Yes. Lord Tennyson. What is it?
Lord Tennyson.
No, he was the savior. How
Lord.
Come they didn't?
Okay, there's my. You can call. Just call me Lord.
Yeah, right. No ego.
Well, you
ego.
Know, it's funny. I rent an apartment, my wife and I rent a guest house, and I am a refer to me as a landlord, it always cracks me up. It's like I'm a landlord, you know.
But wait a second, if you have a house and you live there, why would you rent an apartment?
Well, we have a guest house, and we rent.
Don't
it
you
out.
Say yo? You didn't say that. You said you rent an apartment.
That's true. Which it's means actually you rent a guest house. It's not an apartment. Yeah.
Every day of my life, I hear, and I don't have any letters. I'm not a man of letters. I'm not a man of sentences. I put letters in sentences. I'm not a man of the post office, so I have nothing to do with letters. Nobody writes letters anymore. But the point I'm trying to make here is that I think I speak English well, and I make it my business to write well and speak well, and yet everywhere I turn, it's horrible, and it continues to be horrible everywhere. This is a whole subject right here. We should do one day again. I did a show on it once. I'm really.
You caught me this week what do they call it? Google Plus or something like that. I posted something.
Yes, you did.
Totally grammatically incorrect.
When I do that on Facebook, when people say, write, you know, little things and then they get mad. People get mad when you correct them.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. It's like, yeah. And I always said, I didn't always say this, but this is the way I feel. Here are the five words. Everybody who listens to the show knows this. The five words I hate most when put together in this order. I have to say it that way. I have to be precise, right? It's not like I hate these words separately.
Individually, but together they're. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean. Now, my father.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And I always talk, I do these stories about my father, which always turn out to be like, you know, their Abbott and Costello routines talking to my father. You remember my father.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. And you said, you know what I mean? And you know, when they can't explain something or they explain it a certain way and it's completely wrong or you interrupt and say like, do you mean that? And they just throw it off. You know what I mean. How do I know what? And the thing is, how do I know what you mean? If I don't know what you mean, that's why I'm asking you. You know what I mean?
This is quite a subject for me and my wife and I have many hours of arguing on this very topic.
What we say and how we say it to one another. And you know as well as I do, and she doesn't know this because she didn't grow up in the land of, you know, corrupted English as we did.
Yeah.
And I'm sure all five boroughs of New York were the most hideous forms of communication in terms of words that you'd ever want to know. And you grow up thinking this is right. And it's not. It's not correct, not right.
Yeah.
You're thinking it's correct. And it's terrible. The teachers do it. The garbage.
Oh, yeah.
The postmen do it. Everyone.
It's just part of, you know, living in a certain region and it has that speech and.
But you know, when you get out there in the world and you start talking to people and you start doing things, you realize you grew up and there's no other way to put it but just, you know, you grew up with people who were just stupid. They weren't, and you don't even have to be smart to be able to say something that you mean or express it simply. But they
My wife would agree with that 100% by the
Yeah, well, it's true. They never did that. And I thought it was funny because I was told, you know, when I tell my childhood stories, and I always tell the fact that, you know, everything I did that was weird or something like that, my father categorized it under one heading. Stupid. You're stupid. And the words, and you got to think, I'm stupid. What are you, stupid? they didn't even know the exact meaning of it. But they, what are you, stupid? That's stupid. Yeah. You're stupid. Why are you so stupid? Then they ask you, what's that's stupid. What you did was stupid. What you're going to eat, that's stupid. Don't that's eat like stupid. That. That's stupid. How you act is stupid. What are you going to do? That's stupid. Stupid.
That's stupid. Stupid.
Stupid. Stupid.
It's an adjective, noun. It's just used to...
The first story in Molotov Memoirs is that it's a portrait of a child as stupid, it's called. That's because it's really amazing. And then when you grow up and you realize, wow, I was always smarter than them. I'm not like I was a genius. I wasn't a genius. But I was always smarter than them. My mother used to say, oh, God, I'm getting into this now. But when it was cold outside... And they used to go out and put on a shirt and a jacket, right? My mother would say, button your chest.
Button your chest. Yeah.
What she meant, of course, was the button.
The button over your chest.
Yeah, the thing, you know.
Button up.
You know what I mean.
All
right. Cotolo Chronicles here with Savino. I mean. Savino Cotolo Chronicles, and we're riffing on things.
You know, you mentioned Brooklyn, of course, and
Brooklyn.
One of the things that we argued about, my wife and I, about being stupid was only the uneducated people from Brooklyn, she said, say this. But I've researched this, and it seems to be regional. It seems to be like east of the Mississippi and west of the Mississippi. Uh-huh. And that is, we used to say, get in line. Right?
Get in line.
But here on the West Coast, it's get online.
Well, yeah, you have to be online. Get in the line. You could get in the line, right?
Yeah, but, you know, you say, you have to get online. And I said, no, it's in line. And we'd have these arguments. So. It's only in Brooklyn they say in line. It's online. Now, of course, online has a whole other meaning, and that's being on the web, you know.
How about this one? Close the lights.
Close the lights, yeah. That's, close the lights.
Close the lights.
Yeah, that, you know, if I've heard that so much in my life as a youth or as a ute.
A ute.
And that if somebody said that now, it wouldn't even bother me. I know exactly what they mean.
I know what they mean, but I don't. I try to be conscious of everything I say, and I bring it to the attention of myself too. And I do that on this show, and the shows that I do all by myself when I'm talking for like 2 hours, I can obviously stray into a form of language that might not be so flowing, you know?
Yeah.
And I always stop and I go, that's not right. That's not true. Or if I think of a word and I don't know the word, I go get the dictionary. I want to be very aware. The more you make yourself aware of something, the easier it is to correct it, because you know what I mean. No, but you can't use that. You can't use that properly.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, sure but you not, can.
But when you say something and then someone doesn't understand, and they don't refuse to clarify it, and they go, oh, you know what I mean.
Yeah. I have to admit that I use that defense with my wife a lot.
Say, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'll be going on in my explanation, and she'll be saying, no, wait a minute. What does that – you refer to – what is it? What are you referring – and I say, you know what I mean. Why are you saying this? You know, but you said it wrong, she said, you know, and
you said it incorrectly, not wrong. So you can get back at her.
He said it incorrectly. Yeah.
Well, you know, if somebody knows what you mean, why would you say it to them anyway? Look, there's a squirrel.
That's what always irks me about these arguments. It's like, why are you bringing, you're totally destroying our communication. Because you know what I mean. And you interrupt me to correct some minuscule minutia thing that destroys the whole overall communication.
You know, it's when people talk to each other too much and about things that don't matter, and so they get themselves in these imbroglios based on trying to explain things when they should be saying, I feel sad. There's a great three-word thing that it's everything. Right? Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, can you imagine saying to someone, I feel sad? And they go, what do you mean? What, you don't feel? Oh, so in other words, you don't feel. You don't know the difference between, you don't know the word, by the way, I used a three-letter word to make it clear, sad, opposite of. What are you getting at? You know, you
can, yeah.
As opposed to starting and saying, I feel sad. People, you know, today, I don't know. There was something going on. I had breakfast, but it was okay. And I'm thinking in my, I'm going, why am I, you know, I can't keep my head up. I can't, all that. It can go on for like a half hour. I feel sad covers it all, you know?
Mm. It's That's weird. True.
And I don't think this is a matter of springtime. I wanted to ask you a couple of things because we were going to talk mostly about spring in a sense. I don't really understand. So, do you know much about solstice? What does it mean? What's the deal with the word solstice?
Well, of course, the root is sun, S-O-L. And it has to do with the amount of daylight and darkness.
What does it mean? Solstice means light of
it
the world?
It means the day. It means
solstice. Sun burned?
Day when there's equal light and darkness.
No, yeah, but that's the day of solstice. But what is solstice? Sun what? Stis. What about the soul is sun? What's this? What's the stis? Solstice.
Okay, I don't know.
The things. I'm always interested in these things. And now and there's a solstice every season, isn't there?
There is a. There's winter? Two solstices.
Two solstices. Is that solsti?
No. a solstice.
Solstice. When do I get my. You look up yours, and I'll get my very famous.
Oh, actually, it's solstice. Oh. I'm sure Dr. What's his name is saying, oh, these guys, man, they're stupid guys from Brooklyn.
I know. Dr. Waldo is sitting there going.
Actually, it's solstice and equinox.
Maron!
It's not two solstices.
No, there's only one solstice? I'll get mine.
And equinox.
I'm opening, of course, for those for listeners of the show, my only reference, it's the Webster's New American Dictionary from 1960, and this was published, I love this, by Books Incorporated.
They must be a very old company.
Books Incorporated.
They managed to trademark that name.
Now, what I love
Let's call
about
ourselves Books.
What are we going to do? I don't know, we're going to publish these books. Check and see if anybody
books. Okay.
Check and see if another company has that name. These are the first people to think of it because otherwise, think about that. In 1960, there was another company in the country, maybe in the world, that thought about publishing books and going themselves.
I would have thought that I would have thought that name would have been taken in the 1800s.
Right? Yeah. Anyway, I'm looking up my solstice in this, and what I love about this book is 1960, this book is, it's purged. No, maybe it's not purged because they weren't there in the first place. It's free of a lot of the newer words that have, I mean, you can't find selfie in here, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And where it's okay, I think, that we change, that we add words and stuff. But, you know, some of it's absolutely ridiculous. And some people, you know, I mean, if weathermen had this, they would know not to say there is tornadic activity. Here's where, so what am I looking for?
Solstice.
Do you do what I do? This is how stupid I really am when, in terms of this stuff. Do you open up a dictionary and, you know, you have to, you know, S is S. There's the email. What? I wonder if, wouldn't it be great if that's Dr. Waldar? I'm going to look in a second. Do you do this? I open up the dictionary and I go to S because it's S, right? Then then you got to go to SO.
That's right.
So I go.
And L after that.
But you know what I do? I sit and I go, let's say A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, O. Do you do that? Do you do that? You actually go through the alphabet to find where the O is located?
I used to, but I've surpassed that.
L N M O. I'm getting close. L N M O. Because I'm an idiot. So soul. Now I got to find the L. So soil. H I J K L. Did you find yours?
Well, I have equinox. If you want to know.
What is equinox? Where did that come from? Now, equinox. I didn't want to end with from. See. Where did that arrive? How did that arrive?
Equinox? Well, you know, at the times when the sun is crossing the celestial equator, day and night are of nearly equal length at all latitudes, and so we call these dates the equinoxes, which means, the word means equal night, equal night. In March, that's today, as the sun is moving northwards along the ecliptic, this is called the vernal equinox. That's today, the vernal equinox. So it's not a solstice today. It's an equinox. It's a vernal equinox. And in September, as the sun is moving southwards, we refer to it as the autumnal equinox.
I'm going to write this down now.
So that I stand corrected again. There are two equinoxes.
Equinox.
I guess there are two solstices too. But we still haven't gotten to the bottom of solstices.
One of these days I'm going to do a show all by myself for 2 hours, and it's only going to be the titles of books I want to write and what they're about. I'm never going to write these books. And because I come up with all the time titles, right? And you just gave me another one, and I write them down. And the title of my book, it's the name of my new book, it's not a solstice, it's an equinox. This is a great name.
That's good. That's
right?
Great.
It's not, it's not
a solstice, it's an equinox.
It's not a solstice, it's an equinox. Is that a diamond in your nose? No, it's not. It's not a solstice, it's an equinox. That's an equinox.
An equinox, yes.
Now you're a equa, EQU.
Equinox?
EQU.
How to spell it?
EQUIN. OX.
OX.
When I see Nox.
Is just the ES at the end. What Equinoxes.
It is Noxes, ES?
Yes, it is.
It's not I wonder, now, do you know the rule behind making it an I? Equinox, Equini?
It has to be, it's got to be a Latin. You know,
Equinox. When you let your mind go, that everything, you see, everything.
It goes.
That's why. That's neo-postmodernism.
Do have solstice here now, if you're ready.
Oh, you know, I had it and I closed it because I was too busy singing a stupid song that doesn't exist. But it exists now.
Now it does.
Where do I go? I got to go to S. A, B, D, A, B, C, D, F, G. Okay, go. Give me your
solstice?
Yeah, because I got stuck on snapping turtle, which is two words. Why is the heading snapping turtle? Why isn't snapping under snapping and turtle under turtle?
I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
The solstices.
Give me your solstice.
The times.
Don't
when
they
the
live
sun...
down the block? Fred and Margaret Solstice. The solstices. Da 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 da. Go ahead. Tell me.
That's great. That would be a great series. Yeah. The times when
they run hot and cold. That couple. Go ahead.
The sun is at the furthest from the celestial equator. Are called the summer and winter solstices. And these occur in midsummer and midwinter. The word solstice, S-O-L-S-T-I-C-E, it comes from the Latin solstitium.
There you go. It's a Latin. Okay.
Solstitium.
Which means?
Meaning sun stands still. It's a Tonto joke. The word is actually a Tonto joke. Solstitium. Sun stands still.
What did Frank say about Jack when he didn't run out the door? Sun stands still.
Very good.
I have after solstice, I have solstitial. There's a word stocicial.
Solstitial? Is that the adjective for solstice?
Yes.
I guess.
I was in a I can't even say it. Stocicial state that day when she walked in the room. What is it? Is it pertaining to a solstice? Which is like going to a go-go.
It's a vestigial tale.
Pertaining to a solstice, going to a go-go. I got another one like this. It's a song title. Pertaining to a solstice. Da-da-da. Pertaining to a solstice. It doesn't end.
Solstitial. Now, there's an I like that. I'm going to use solstitial.
No, I know it's not eel. It's stostitial.
Solstitial?
I don't know.
It has nothing to do with solstice.
I stuck a T in there like a jerk because I'm stupid. Solstitial. What are you, stupid? You're stupid. Solstitial.
Solstitial.
Okay, everybody out there, you got your Mead notebooks or your Cotolo Chronicle notebooks. That's the word of the day.
Solstitial.
I want to mention something too, because I've been looking to replenish my stationery supplies, and I always use I try not to get knockoffs. I try to use the official Mead composition books. Do you know the world? No matter what happens in this world, I'm holding it up as if I'm on television. And no matter what happens in this world, no matter how sophisticated it gets with zeros and ones and everything, there'll still be this. Composition book.
I find that comforting.
I do too. I love this, and as long as it's wide ruled, I like the. I don't. My yeah. college ruled. Okay.
Do you know that I require those notebooks from? This is how. This is one of the reasons I'm retiring, I guess. Oh, you mean that teacher who requires those notebooks? Yeah.
But knockoffs. You can use knockoffs or use the original Mead or the people who started this Mead.
I prefer the Mead, however. They're not easy to come by these days, so.
You're right. And I looked them up the other day, and a couple of years ago I wrote to them and I said, by golly, I actually didn't write that, but I do, because the power of the written word, the power of the letter, of the word, when you handwrite a letter to a company, it will always be read. They will always respond. Especially.
And these days it's like, yes. They'll call the CEO and say, we got a written letter.
Yeah. That's true. You laugh, but don't laugh. Well, laugh if you think it's funny. But this and the thing online. I went online because I can't find the original Meads, even at places Staples. What's the other place?
Office Depot.
Office Depot. And they don't have these. They have the other forms of Mead, various books and record things, but you can't find this. So I go online. Do you know what one of these is online, what this costs at the Mead website? It costs.
No, how much?
$5.19 for one book.
Really? Because we get the knockoffs for like a dollar, you know.
That's, yeah, when it's time for school, they do that. Well, I'm going to write to Mead again, and I'm going to say, look, I don't like these knockoffs, man. I've been using Mead all my life. I'm a professional writer, and I need my Mead. So, hey, you know, I'll just tell them, you know what I mean. God, I hate puns.
Yes. Now, do you know when you said you like the wide rule?
Yes, wide rule, not college.
Is that the same as college rule?
No. Wide rule is wide ruled, wider than college. College ruled for some reason.
College ruled is a small margins.
Yes. No, not margins. The smaller spaces.
The smaller spaces
smaller lines,
between each.
And I don't know who decided. You know what they did? They probably, they started, this is how I think, it's insane. They probably started with College Rube. And somebody said, you know, that's really too narrow. I'm having trouble. And then the Mead people got together and go, what do we do? Said, well, we don't have a name for, what happens if we make them wider? We'll just call them Wide Ruled.
Wide Ruled.
Right,
yeah.
Call them Wide Ruled. Oh, we can't do that. We have to have a name. No, we can do that. It's amazing.
It should actually be Deeper Ruled or,
Deeper Ruled. How deep is
higher ruled.
How deep is your rule? I really This is Cotolo Chronicles. Obviously, Savino Cotolo Chronicles, because one mind, it's bad enough one mind works this way and you every week. Two of them I put on so that the world could, you realize that there could be people in Afghanistan in caves that have laptops or now mobile phones listening to the show.
That it's amazing.
It's true. It's amazing. And we want to remind you, CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. If you go there, you'll find out everywhere else we're on. Now, we're on twice a day you can't say in anymore, but on True Talk Radio, because, you know, wherever you are located, you're everywhere now. There's no more local. You know?
Yeah, you know, they're writing a story about me in the school paper, and yes. I gave them all the information, and they, you know, BBC, this show's heard on the BBC.
I don't know if it's exactly the BBC, but we have British.
Well, one show that's on the BBC, something, well, whatever, you know.
Yeah, well, we're on, we are on all over, and not just picking it up from here. But I think I forgot the name, but True Talk Radio runs this show twice a day. Twice a day they run this show and various episodes. And then 4 weeks ago, which is probably about a month ago, they're associated with the Montreal Jewish News, which is a news website. And I'm just telling everyone here that aside from my SRN 148.ca/Frank, where every week there's another blog there about something. But I do a new one. You'd like this one, Tom. It's called Political Pulp.
Yeah, I saw it on a Google thing.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
I
want to
look that
right.
up.
Go look that up. That's every Friday, a brand new twist on things that are happening in the political scene of the United States, and sometimes maybe even other countries. I don't know. I haven't done any other countries. But there's some fun stuff. And what's this coming up tomorrow? What's it about tomorrow? Oh, it's about the. Did you hear that the Republicans said there's going to be the midterm elections 2014 are going to be a tsunami for the Republicans. It's going to be a tsunami.
That's what they're predicting.
That's right. And you go to Montreal Jewish News and read my spin on the Republican tsunami coming up in 2014. Uh-huh. But anyway, I said that because there's two stations there. I mean, there's one station playing it twice because there's stations located in various other places, like Kansas and California and somewhere else in Arkansas. We're actually on AM stations in certain places. I don't even know how they do that. Well, they just run it. They go, hey, this is for nothing. They run it, you know. And I can't police it if they're selling, like, you know, making money off of it. I don't even know, right? Unless I go to their stream, if they stream it and I go there. I forgot, there's another station, too. Some station got in touch with me and said, we'd like to run Cotolo Chronicles. And I said, that's fine, but if you, that's fine. You can, you know, I can't keep it from you. Nice of you to tell me, but if you start selling time on it, then I'm going to tell my Uncle Vito to come visit.
What do they say to that, by the way?
They say, no, we won't do that. I said, how do you know, unless you listen, or someone sends you an air check. People still do air checks. You can do air checks on this.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're at the Savino Cotolo Chronicles, and now do you have to take a whiz or something, Tom? I'm gonna do a quick. Speaking of selling things, I'm just gonna sell.
We're heard on KJAG in Hutchinson, Kansas.
Yeah, KJAG is that's an internet station.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
All right.
True Talk Radio is also
Quebec?
Yeah, that's also connected to Shalom Radio, which is a real AM. It is. I never thought of that
when I don't associate Jews with Canada for some reason.
Or me. Well, it's Quebec. And some Canadians don't associate Quebec with Canada. So
with Canada,
it works
for them.
It's perfect.
It's a perfect solution. Yeah.
Yeah, and any number of other places, and there's probably places not even on that list, because you know.
This show is heard in the Ukraine.
It is.
Do you think Putin's listening?
Well, he's.
I don't think he's listening to anything.
Putin, a good word for him, and we'll see. We are, oddly enough, I think second largest audience comes from Japan. They just pick it up somewhere because there is a Cthulhu Chronicles, well, there's a Frank Cthulhu fan club in Yokohama. Did you know that? Really?
No.
I can't.
You should go visit them.
They said, would you come here and do show from here? Because they don't use prepositions in other countries.
Sun stands still.
And I said, yeah, well, you know what? Like, out of nowhere, I'm going to go do a free show and, you know, it's going to cost me $30,000 to travel to Japan.
They wouldn't pay your airfare. Huh?
Yeah. They said, you know, you could stay at our house because there was a point where it was so small, this group of people that there were people who came over who did not understand English. And one guy who did understand English, as I was talking, I don't talk fast enough, right? But I do, as I'm talking, he translates. So, and they got together every week.
I find that's very funny, I think.
The whole thing is hilarious. It's absolutely insane.
Gee, if I were to go there and say I were you, they wouldn't know.
Yeah, I think they would because you go to – see, again, you can't hide it. If you go to Google – if you go to Yahoo or Google Images and you put in Frank Cthulhu, you're going to see pictures of me because there's pictures everywhere.
Yeah, there's no hiding.
No hiding anymore.
Unless you're a Malaysian airline.
Then.
then you're well hidden.
It might as well be spring. Hey, baseball's coming up. Are you excited? Because I'm not. I don't do it anymore. Are you excited?
I'm a baseball fan, and this is Derek Jeter's last year.
Derek Jeter's last year. That's the only thing I know about this year. I've even forgotten who won the World Series. I have no idea. I'm so out of it.
The bearded Red Sox. You didn't see their beards down to their.
They won again last year.
Their chests. Yeah. Okay. They were pretty good. As much as I.
Okay.
You know,
I don't want to talk baseball. Let's go on to spring. That's one of the things we could talk about. Those here. Well, we just run to the John or whatever you got to do.
All right, I'll get to some replenishing liquids.
Yeah, replenish your some liquids. I'm just gonna run these few things I have. Let me see if I don't even have them all together now. I'm gonna run these few things so we could sell some, try to sell some books and stuff. Where'd it go?
All right,
I'm just gonna find it because I have to do everything myself here. It's not like
where's Jeremy?
Well, he doesn't do anything anyway when he comes here. He just sits here and he just lumbers in his seat and says funny things now and then. I don't know. He's been MIA for a while. Where's my other one? But he's been busy, you know, kids.
Yeah,
and it's,
I know.
And, you know, it's spring, so what?
He's a student, and it's spring.
Turns
and
lightly.
In spring, the young man's heart turns to lightly turns to thoughts of something.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And what you said. Let's just do these couple of things, and I'm just going to put in enough stuff so that we can go to the bathroom. And, you know, why play it at all? Why don't we just leave it silent, and then everybody can go to the bathroom? Nobody's going to listen. And I'm trying to, you know, so okay, let's do that. Run to the bathroom, get some beverage, and we'll come right back here, Cthulhu Chronicles, because we have another 52 minutes if we have an hour, and we don't. We have 52 minutes, so come back.
All right,
right here. And we'll be here. And you can listen to this. Should I do this? Wait. Oh, no. I'm going to do this. Yeah, Tom. You go, Tom. I have to wait until the... I just found one more thing I have to do here. Oh, where'd it go? Here. Right here. All right. Let me put this in, and then we'll be able to... Yeah. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Cthulhu Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
Dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades, parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves the tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo. Now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Arthritis isn't just about getting old. In fact, arthritis is a serious disease that affects more than 4 million Canadians, including baby boomers and children. For many people, arthritis means pain and disability. But there are answers for those struggling with the disease. The Arthritis Society can help. We offer hope through education, support, and solutions with information and programs to make life easier. The Arthritis Society. Visit us online at arthritis.ca for help or to make a donation.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy.
JuicedTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies. And they only got together to make like one, a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time, okay?
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything growing, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
Finally, a book that reveals everything that runs through a man's blood. I'm talking, of course, about Molotov Memoirs. It's the book that's sweeping the United States and going over the ocean and sweeping Europe and everywhere else that's over there. I'm Frank Cotolo, and my book, Molotov Memoirs, is now available at blurb.com. Go to blurb.com and buy this fabulous book. It's the closest thing to an autobiography I could write without telling the truth. Includes great illustrations by T. Stephen Gessick. It's a book you have to hold in your hands and bring with you everywhere you go, because it's Molotov Memoirs, the way I remember it, the way you want to know about it.
When does this come on? Russian dancing stuff there, huh?
Did you produce that spot? You did that. Obviously.
Yeah, you want to know.
Talking on it.
You want to know what the production of that spot entailed? It entailed playing that in the background and talking.
Well, yeah, very good.
That was the production involved. I didn't do
just
any.
Just live over a microphone?
Yeah, I don't anything anymore. It got so complicated to me, and I just went right into the depths. I got so. I don't know. I can't do any of that anymore. Isn't that wild? Mm. I've done so much of it, and I just can't do it. I don't have the time or the patience anymore. I never had the patience.
It is kind of tedious when you, you know.
I don't get anything out of it. It's like, that's the reason I don't watch baseball anymore. If I don't get something out of what I'm doing, I stop doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that something might be. This is Cotolo Chronicles. I get something out of this. I get no kick from cocaine. Pure alcohol. Tom Savino's with me for Savino Cotolo Chronicles here on the fine show. It's not a program. It's a show. So if it were a program, we would have everything mapped out and we'd know what we're going to do and when we're going to do it. But it's not. It's a show. So
that's right, and right on the show.
Should we Paul McCartney again?
That's my Paul McCartney, Ed Sullivan impersonation.
The point we're trying to make here.
Hey, that D person, was it artist?
The artist D. Oh, there's the artist D. Yes. What?
She. You say she, right? tweeted. She retweeted my tweet. Thank you, D.
Oh, yeah, D's a fine – the Artist D is actually a spinoff of this show. The Artist D had no – until I knew the Artist D and had D on the show. I just say D. That makes – you know, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter. But when I had D on the show originally, and I was so taken by D's voice, and I said, we should do radio. And that was the end of that. You know, D turned out to be – to do the Artist. You go to theartistd.com. And there's a great, you know, Dee wrote a great book. It's a great book called, In Bed With Myself. It's a great book.
I can certainly relate to that title.
It's a great book. It's a great book at the Artist D. Ever go to theartistd.com. Dee is in between seasons. The show will start again whenever. Dee has written a number of books. And poetry and things like that, but that is a great, it really is a great book, well written and wonderful, and it's still available. I don't know if it's available for digital, but I did want to mention that Molotov Memoirs is available to go on to your Nook or your Schnook or
your cranny.
iBook.
They should have a cranny.
E-book or, yeah, I don't think I have nooks and crannies.
My wife has it's a Nook.
Not a Kindle?
She may have a cranny too. No, she has, you're right, it's Kindle. It's a Kindle. Same thing, isn't it?
If they merge, will it be a Canuck?
Or a Canuck.
Or Canandle?
Only in Canada.
Canuck in Canada, yeah. which is our home, it's our home base here, you know?
I kind of like that.
We're Canadian.
Because
from South York.
During the George W. years, I actually tried to become Canadian, but they wouldn't have me.
That's a little drastic, don't you think? A lot of paperwork involved with that.
Yeah. I said, no, we won't take you. You need some reason to be here.
But we're here, Y2K plus 14, the first day of spring, and acting no different than we ever do. So the seasons mean really nothing. But do you know about any of these things? Like you had an earthquake there this week, right?
Yeah, Monday at 6:25, we had a 4.4 quake. As disasters go, that was like I had one little wooden cat thing on my shelf that fell off, and that was the worst of it for me.
Write that title down. Wait, the wooden cat thing on my shelf. There's another title.
On my shelf. And it didn't. There were no injuries, not just here in the house, but I mean, in all of Los Angeles. However, it seems that there's two LA city council members are demanding an investigation because they cannot pinpoint. Seismic scientists cannot pinpoint what fault line the quake emerged from. And they suspect, because of that, that it was caused by fracking. And you know how I feel about fracking.
Yeah, I'm still confused about that. I was going to ask you about that, though. I didn't want to get into the political side of that. I'm just like, what is it easier to frack in the spring?
Is there a joke there or something?
I don't know. It's a question.
Is it easier if it's to frack in the spring?
If it's funny, it's a joke. But I just said, is it easier to frack in the spring?
I didn't know if you were leading me like it was a line that I was getting into.
Should I do it like Rex?
Literally, is it easier to
do it like Rex Harrison? What did he do? Is it easier to? Why can't the frack?
Can't I frack more?
Why can't
like
your frack be more like a frick or a frick or frack?
Oh, frick or a frack.
What does that mean, frack?
Okay, fracking means it's short for hydraulic fracturing.
Fracture. It's short of fracture.
Yes, fracture. It's short for fracture.
It's fracturing something with a hydraulic drill?
Yes.
What do you fracture?
A massive hydraulic drill that goes
I like would imagine.
5,000 feet down.
I didn't think they used engineers.
I don't even know how they do this, but then 5,000 feet horizontally. Yeah, once they go 5,000 feet down, then they go 5,000 feet horizontally.
Well, they use an engine. They use engines. That's how they do it. You said you don't know how they do it. They use engines.
Me, engine.
Engine.
Not engine. Okay.
Engine. No, and not engine.
Ever. I do know one thing because I am passionately anti-fracking. For one thing, they use tons of water to do this.
Well, it's a hydraulic drill. Don't they have hydro? Comes from the hydro, which is water.
Yes.
Isn't that how they get the drills running?
Yes. They need the water, but they also shoot a mixture of chemicals and water into the deep earth. And they use a lot of water to do this.
Tom,
not to mention the water that they pollute. Now, it's debatable. The people who do this, the oil companies, will say, oh, no, that's not true. We have all the scientific evidence. We have all the scientific evidence shows it doesn't pollute the water. Ask somebody in Pennsylvania about when they turn their faucet on and light a match to it it's in flames. Your faucet is literally in flames.
Yeah, but I tried that. I ruined 4 Bic lighters trying to do that. And I'm in Pennsylvania. Frack. Yeah. What the frack? Now, I don't know how to say one thing, and that is, what do you have invested in this? Why does this bother you so much?
Well, because in California, one of our biggest problems is we're running out of water. We are running out of water. And fracking pollutes drinking water and takes a tremendous amount of water to do. Yeah, but we can get natural gas and run our cars on natural gas and besides that, it pollutes the storage areas where they put the waste, the fracking waste water.
So you fear drinking bad water? I mean,
I fear having no water to drink. I fear having no good water to drink. And I think that could happen in our lifetime.
Well, I mean, the world is 3/4 water. Isn't it 80% water? Your body is 80%. Wait, is the world 80% water, or is your body 80% water? Or are they both 80% water?
I wish Dr. Waldorf, what's his name? By the way, it's not Waldorf.
He's in his hotel room. Dr. Waldorf.
Yes, at the Waldorf.
Waldorf. The world is 3/4 or 7/8, which is not the same, but what is the world water-wise?
I don't know. There's a lot of water.
But you can't drink
that water. There's a lot of water. But
why can't we desalinize water?
Drinking water.
Yeah, but why can't we desalinize water? Why can't we drink that water? Can we desalinize?
Well, you know, in Catalina here, the Santa Catalina Island here.
23 miles across the sea.
Santa Catalina. Oh, we're going to do the cocktail thing now? Why not?
Maybe I'll do that too.
But because they're surrounded by water.
Well, there must be an island.
They are. They said, hey, we got lots of water here, but we can't drink any. So they have for decades now, they've had desalinization plants. So they take the salt out of the water.
So there you go.
And do use the water to drink.
So someday
I don't know what that process entails, but, we can't, I don't think we could do that on a large worldwide scale. I'm not sure. I don't know the science behind that.
I don't know. But at one time, someone said they can't send a man to the moon, and he got there.
Yes.
Now, wait a second. Let me get this straight. If it's a body of water surrounded by, no, it's a body of earth, of land, surrounded by water. It's an island.
It's an island.
It's never a man, because no man is an island. But
right.
If it has three, if it only has three.
three sides?
It's a peninsula?
It's a peninsula.
What about, okay.
And then if it's like a real thin peninsula, it's an isthmus. You remember Don Isthmus?
Oh,
he had a radio show.
An isthmus is what only, what's an isthmus?
An isthmus is
because it's beginning like to look a lot like isthmus as we
white isthmus. Yes.
What is an isthmus?
It's my favorite time of year.
What is isthmus? What is it? What's an isthmus? It's, you said two sides?
An isthmus is like a very thin peninsula or part of the peninsula.
But how many sides of water? How many sides have water?
For an isthmus?
Yeah.
Well, it's part of a peninsula. An isthmus is like part of a peninsula.
Why is it a peninsula? Where derives its peninsula? Pen is five. Isn't pen five?
Like pentagram? Pentagram?
Yeah, pentagram is five. So why would it be pen? Pens.
Pentagram.
I don't know. We got to find that one, too.
I don't know.
The origin of these words just they confound me every day. I want to know the words. I want to know what words I use, what they mean. But until there's two, there's nothing if it's two sides. Hey, wait a second. The whole continent of North America is an island. Isn't it surrounded by water? The continent? Isn't the continent surrounded by water? There's no connection between.
Yeah, I guess it's like a big ass island.
It's a big island.
As we'd say, and my students would say, everything is big ass. By the way,
there's another one, right? Big ass. Yeah. It's a big ass.
Has that made it to Pennsylvania? Because it's give me that big ass pencil. Give me that big ass thing. But let's get back to the subject here.
Well, the subject is one. To me, the subject is not fracking as to why. Thomas Joseph Savino gets into his sixth decade of life and suddenly from out of nowhere.
Obsessed with fracking.
He's going, this fracking must stop because I'm what? Why? What do you, does it keep you, where, what do you, what's the feeling? Why should I care?
I need to stand up for the earth.
Joseph Savino,
and stand up on the earth.
Needs to stand up for the earth. You feel this as an obligation? What? I'm serious. I'm not joking around.
Me too. I'm serious. We are running out of water, and they're making the water undrinkable, and they're using water to do it. We're not going to have water. We might have lots of natural gas, but we won't have water.
What about, could we drink Perrier?
But besides the water,
if Clark Kent, okay, if it was French, it was all French, and he worked for like Le Daily Le Monde, or however you would say it, right? If he worked for a newspaper in Paris, who would be the editor of that newspaper?
I don't know.
Perrier White.
Perrier White.
That's terrible.
Sun stands still.
You know they're saying the heart wants what the heart wants. Which is as far as I'm concerned is pretty repetitive.
Yes.
What's the heart want? It wants what it wants. Sounds like my father.
Yeah.
What does it want? No explanation. Well, you know what I mean. Perfect callback.
Yeah, I was coming back from our replenishing break.
Yes,
I was thinking of your father and my father, and I said, "Gee, you know, both of them were so into their professions were so needed. You know, that's what my dad would say. You gotta find a job where it's needed. Cause shoes. Yes, everybody's gonna need shoes. Everybody's got feet. Almost everybody's got feet. Mm-hmm. At least one. And, you know, they're gonna need shoes. And your dad was a plumber, you know? I mean, these are things that, are really needed. Why I brought that up, I have no idea. But,
I'm getting a wait. Hold on a second. I'm speaking to Jeremy.
A message.
He said
his ears
were ringing. He's on. He's on Skype. He just said, "Tell Tom and the listeners that Jeremy Long says hello."
Hey, Jeremy.
Okay. And now back to our show.
Okay. Well, besides, you know,
shoes,
I just
right,
brought
shoes.
Up the fracking thing because we did have the earthquake. And now, whether or not the fracking caused the earthquake, but it is known that fracking has caused earthquakes in areas where there is not that many earthquakes before.
Like, so now you were worried. First you worried about water. Now you're worried about earthquakes. So there's multi reasons.
I'm mostly worried about water, but fracking. But it's all, of course, it's all connected, you know. I mean, all these disasters and global warming and the, or climate change, you know, for people who are absolutely refuse to think about, refuse to admit that there's global warming. You know, the NASA came out with a report, a week ago that basically said we're doomed.
They said that, yeah.
Said, we're,
well,
we're
they're doomed. We got private rockets going up, and people were making rockets in their backyard now. And they're being supported by the Republicans, the conservatives must love that because the government's not paying to get to the moon until they want to go to the moon. Then they complain about that. But I mean, there's because it's like, have you seen the stuff going on with and the field day they've been having? I don't even realize if they realize how funny this stuff.
I don't subject. Think they realize much. Well, they realize they know how to spark. They know how to use fear. They know how to spark their base, you know, get their base going and get angry at, I don't know, you know, there used to be, Republicans who totally were for, helping the environment. They're protecting the environment.
Let's get away from that stuff. That's like baseball.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
This fracking thing. I wake up in the morning. Well, actually, I don't wake up in the morning. My schedule is a little different than most people. But when I wake up and I'm happy, I'm up. Whether it's spring or winter, although I'm glad it's spring, I'm a little tired of being cold here. And I walk into my bathroom and I do my little business here and business there. I take my blood pressure pill, which of course has been. Do you know my blood pressure has been getting normal? It's amazing. I started to have a condition 2 summers ago, and it was because of my medicine. My blood pressure was getting better, and I was still taking the medicine as if it was bad. So now I'm down to the half. I take a very little bit, and I'm fine. But I don't even take enough milligrams to matter. But well, here's my point. My point is I don't think about fracking. I don't think about the fact that the sun, and listen to this, Tom, and you must know this. Waldo knows, everybody knows. The sun is middle-aged. The sun as a star has only as much time left as up until now from its birth, from the Big Bang. Now, when that happens, and I don't know who knows who's going to be here or what's going to happen or it's like it doesn't matter if you fix the fracking problem or you fix the water problem or you cure cancer or the Boston Red Sox never win again. What? Because everything's gone.
Yeah. You could look at it. Certainly you could look at things that way, like a fatalist thing, like, well, what the hell is the difference? Because we're all going to die anyway, you know. One way or the other, we're all going to die.
But if we fracking,
the sun, even if I want to protect the Earth, but then the sun goes, it's like, oops, there goes the Earth. Isn't it a little before the sun? Way before the sun goes, the moon is going. You know, I mean,
where's it going? Where's the moon going? Over the mountain,
it's floating.
When
away.
The moon goes over the mountain, where's the moon going? The moon.
It will be no longer in our orbit.
Yes.
Way before the sun goes, but way after we'll be gone.
Where's it? It's going out of orbit. Where's it going? Don't we need the moon to keep on our axis?
Yes, I think the moon is necessary, but it doesn't apparently agree with us. So it's a, you know, I'm sorry, I'm on my own. You only see one side of me anyway.
Wait a second. So when it's not there, when it's there, well, I'm a confused here now.
What, the moon?
When the moon is, if the moon is gone before the sun burns out.
When the moon's in the seventh and Jupiter aligns with Mars.
Wait, can the moon, if the moon's gone.
Yes.
Before. When. Everybody! Everybody together. It's when the moon is gone.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
This is Kate Smith.
Where's the moon? When it's gonna.
All by myself at twilight.
Oh, I'm impressed that you were able to get back.
She's gone. She doesn't care about fracking, Kate.
And with a
God, she was bad. She was big ass ugly, wasn't she? Oh, it's a shame. Give me the come over. Here we go.
When the moon comes over the mountain.
I do all this myself, you know. I don't have a friend.
Yes.
Every beam brings a dream.
Every beam.
Every beam,
brings a dream.
A dream.
I didn't know those lyrics, did you?
No. I love those old songs.
I
love the old songs, the new songs, I love them all.
I find it difficult not to laugh at anything anymore.
Well, that's good.
I'm serious.
I wish I could get back then. I used to be that way, but I don't.
And that really causes a problem in terms of social relations, because people always think you're laughing at them.
I know.
When it's just a general.
And they'll often say, you know what I was talking about. You know what I mean.
You know what I mean? I did a whole show once about how people take things personal when you don't do it like their way or the way it's supposed to be done, and how we grew up. Now, you know this in Brooklyn. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I'm not going to do the whole show again here now, but you'll know this is what I'm talking about too. You're with somebody who you know pretty well, and you're like, you go to Nathan's, which everyone know what Nathan's is, a hot dog place in Coney Island. They serve hot dogs and like that. I get known for hot dogs.
Yeah.
So if you went, when you were like, say 14 or 15, whatever, you're 17, whatever, and you went to Nathan's with your friend, maybe you went with, what's his name? What's his name? Something, the guy just came to my mind and I forgot his name. Wow.
Like when I was 14?
Yeah, that friend you had. I met him once.
Jimmy Clark?
No, not Jimmy Clark.
Neil?
No, it was that other, it was the guy. I knew him. You met him. You introduced me to him. He's a weird guy. He's a regular guy. He wasn't. Anyway, suppose you went to, you went there and you order the hot dogs. You each order a hot dog, right? And then you go over to put your condiments on the hot dog, right? Now, you go over in the hot dog and you go over and he puts mustard. Now, if you went over and put ketchup on your hot dog, wouldn't you catch hell from him?
That's a good point. Probably yes.
Yes.
I probably, you know that because I'm from Brooklyn, I often put ketchup on my scrambled eggs.
Yes, I do that too. That's from the Greek diners,
nobody,
right?
Apparently no one else in the country does that.
That's from Greek diners. So maybe they do that in Greece.
I don't know.
I saw the movie and I didn't, but but it's true. People would get vehement about what you did and criticize you. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you stupid? Here you go. What are you stupid?
What are you
stupid?
You
don't put catch up on? You know, right? There were these things, these rules you were supposed to, these stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that.
My dad told me in the Army that.
You were in the Army?
He told me.
Quote, you said your dad told you in the Army. So you were in the Army with your dad?
My dad told
you see,
me.
You see, you just did it.
In the Army, yes, comma, okay. Quote.
Go ahead.
People knew I was from Brooklyn because I put ketchup on the my scrambled eggs. End quote. But
there were tons of things. It was like there were like these rules you grew up with. Like for instance, I mean, my father used to get pissed when somebody else's car was parked in front of his house.
Oh, yeah.
It's his house, but it doesn't say Ralph Cotolo's spot. Do not park here under penalty of what? That's my spot.
Yeah.
That's my spot.
You know what? Hey, that's really interesting you bring that up. Because I've actually been having issues with that. I have this ire.
You've been trying to park in front of my old house?
Yeah. I mean, what a walk that is, too. Let me tell you. But this is like – maybe it's an old Brooklyn thing too or a New York thing. An old New York thing is – you know the old joke from Seinfeld. It's like, oh my God, there's a spot. There's a spot outside. Yeah. I'm going to take it. But what do you mean? You can't take it. We have to go somewhere. No, but I'm not going to miss this spot.
That's his. But that comes from the fact that he grew up in New York. That's a New York thing.
That's a New York thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't make that up.
Oh, my God. I can't believe – or how many times you look for a parking spot in a certain area, and then you have to drive through the area, and you don't want to stop there, and it's the spot. So it's like, oh, whoa. I've got to take it. I got to take the spot.
It's amazing. And the same thing went with eating. If there were – I mean, if you went to the guy on the street who sold the hot dogs – and said, "Where's the ketchup?" And he goes, "Well, he would go. You didn't order you don't sell hamburgers." He would just like, "Whoa, I didn't know there was a rule." I don't know if they do that anymore. And you know, everything is very Catholic these days, and you could get anything anywhere. You know, it's not like, but back then that was it, and they would tell you what to do. You had these rules, but the point was that people took it personal. They would attack you for breaking these rules.
Yeah, they would. It would be a very personal thing, and they would actually comment on and say, "What you put that on your thing?" Yeah, I just did. Didn't you see me?
Yeah, and it's like, who
why?
Puts?
I like it. Yeah. Because that's how I like it.
Who
you
puts?
Do?
Who
you do?
What do you? You know, it's
what,
like
are you stupid.
Yes, exactly. People don't understand that. That's but the thing is, what I'm just saying is that people take things. This goes back to what we said about talking to people. And they take things personal. So if you don't like something that they like, and you know this too. Now you've been involved in politics. I mean, I was too. But you mean you know what I'm talking about. If you talk to somebody who is diametrically opposed to whatever it is you feel politically, and eventually you're really going to get steamed up because you take it personal. It's like, you know, you're, it's in other words, what they're saying, if they're debating you and they're saying, no, the conservative way is the way to go. Progressives ruin the country. What they're really saying is, you're progressive. You're a big ass jerk. You're stupid. Yeah. You should be shot and killed.
What are you, stupid?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, pretty much, unfortunately.
You take it personal.
We're
right?
So divided that way. But, you know, I'm glad you're talking about this because, as much as, you know, I brought up fracking, I really am making an effort to like stop this, ironically, this fracking, this fracturing of, you know, just automatically putting people down, becoming political views as I have. But I hope the same is true of them. You know, I wish we could have a conversation about these things. I mean, in a national conversation about these things, you know. I think that fracking is bad, and I think that we could be discussed and looked at. I think that it's better to have water to drink than to have natural gas to run cars. You know, I don't know. That's but back to other disasters like what did you guys had like the worst winter
Well, I was in the worst winter, but it was bad. Yes, it was bad. We didn't have one particular storm. We just had a whole bunch of, well, it was mostly the temperature, which went down, to record levels downward. It went down, not up. But, you know, for all we know, there was an entire, there were like 2,500 seasons like this before we kept track of seasons. How do I know? You know, we don't know.
Well, scientists say they know. You know, they say they know.
They know. They say they know. Yeah, they do have some. Yeah. They have ways of saying, but they just found something about the. You know, I always watch this stuff, and I wait when Dr. Waldorf and these guys come on when we do our Big Bang Theory shows. But I don't understand a lot of what they're saying. They found something the other day about gravitational pull after the Big Bang, and here they are on the CBS Evening News. In a short segment, doing this as a news piece, and you would think they would try to find the least common denominator to explain this, and they don't. And I did not know what they meant. There was when the Big Bang happened, the universe got done, was made quickly because there were gravitational pulls, and all the scientists were going, "Holy, this is great! We know the gravitational. Now we're going to find out what. What are they talking about? What we're going to find out? What I want to know."
I don't know.
Well, this is what I mean. These are my favorite three words anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And every time I talk to somebody and they seem to know something, and if I quiz them on it or ask them or want to know more about it, I find out they don't know. They really don't know. And every argument I could make, not just an argument per se. I mean, anything I could say that would not be, you know, that would ask more about it, and have them prove what they said is actually the truth, because they know, and they can't back it up. So I mean, everybody's biased about everything, aren't they?
I
see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nobody's objective. Maybe... To be objective, you have to really be a critical thinker, you have to find out a lot of crap. You got to do a lot of work. You got to talk to a lot of people. I don't do that, do you? So therefore, I don't know anything. I don't really know. The things I know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much else that I don't know about the things that I do that I know. So if someone comes up to me and asks me, "Wow, you play guitar pretty good," I said, "Well, yeah, now, compared to this and this and this, but I can't play guitar. Look at these guys. I don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
I really don't know." And I'm saying that people walk around and they go, "Well, I know." And people use that term too. I know what it does. I know why the polar bears don't have and I don't know. How do you know?
Well, I don't know.
you see?
I don't know.
We don't
things.
Know.
But
there's evidence.
There's a lot of people that I've come to trust, and then scientists and agencies of science that pretty much they're saying a lot of the same things, you know.
But do they explain it fully enough that you feel like you know enough? Because I never get enough.
Well, you said the least common denominator, and when you just bring it down to that level, it's like, well, we humans have because we're burning fossil fuels, we have destroyed the air and the environment.
Well,
and
we've made it worse. I don't know if we
a greenhouse effect, and it's causing it's really destroying a lot of our environment, and if we keep up at this rate. And this is what the NASA thing was saying last week. You know, it was like, at the rate we're going, we are pretty much doomed.
Yeah, but they don't say that it's not. Look, when the Jehovah Witnesses come to your house, they go, "Look, here is right here in the book. It says this is going to happen." He says, "When? I don't know." So that's the same as this. Doomsday is coming. We're going to ruin everything with this stuff. When? What? When?
Well,
what should I do?
Actually, the
what do I do?
Actually gave a rain. I mean, they didn't say, you know, it would be on the equinox on
the solstice. It's a solstice, not an equinox. It's an equinox, not a solstice. What's the name of that book? It's not a solstice. It's an equinox.
It's not a solstice. It's an equinox.
Yeah, stupid.
It's gonna... I mean, they didn't give like a day, you know, or a week or a month, but they gave like a range of within 100 years or something like that, that we're doomed.
Okay,
so but like you said, yeah. Well, so what? So what? Because the sun's going anyway.
And not just that, and that is like, should you really be concerned in 100 years? Why are you concerned about what's going to happen in 100 years? Why? What? I don't know. I don't know what I'm making this sound like. But people, you know, and then you know what people do when I say all that stuff? They start pointing at me and say, you don't care about anything. You don't care. You don't care about your race. You don't care about the human beings. You don't care. You know, I sit back and I go, yeah, why don't I care at all? Why? It's amazing. I don't have this. You remember we used to actually have write songs about things that were wrong. And boy, yeah. Did we change things? What did you do? What'd you do about it? I wrote a song. Golly, he wrote a song. Everything's going to change now. I don't think anybody even does the things they do. I think it's just a bunch of hot air. Everybody's talking about stuff and nothing gets done and nobody does anything and then it happens anyway and this one doesn't like it and that one doesn't like it.
Wow.
This is Cotola Chronicles, by the way, rapidly diminishing in time.
Yes.
But anyway, the fracking
9 minutes,
thing.
The sun will be gone.
But here's the point.
Sun stands still.
It's not a solstice. It's an equinox. What are you going to do? Do you really think you can do anything about it? Well, how come I could, let's just wipe my hands and go, I don't know. If there was something I could do, I don't even know what to do. I mean, tweets?
I mean, that's a good question.
How many tweets?
Well, let me give you a little, like, you know, I sign a lot of petitions,
yeah.
And I do this stuff.
Okay, fine. I sign petitions.
I actually felt fulfilled in some way. Maybe
really?
This is like, maybe this is stupid, actually. But I was able to be part of a petition campaign that got the Kennedy Airport to relocate owls because they were just shooting. They were just killing the owls because the owls were flying into the jets,
yes,
the engines,
yeah.
and you know,
yeah,
jeopardizing the jets. And they were just killing the owls, and you know we said
the giants were safe because they moved.
Don't kill the owls.
The giants were safe, right? Because they moved to New Jersey, but the jets were having problems. They did too. They actually moved to New Jersey.
And they took the owls and relocated them.
You know what?
Malaysian airline.
Okay. Let me tell you this, Tom. That you know my life. And that has gone so far, and I never thought it would go this far, and I hope it continues to go far, and wherever I grew up and wherever I've traveled in the world, if anyone had ever said to me, how about all those owls at JFK, I would have went, what the frick are you talking? I didn't know there was one owl. See, I'm going to admit my stupidity. There's, and what do you call a bunch of owls? Is it a flock? Is it a pledge? What is a flock? Is it a bunch of owls? Is it a family of owls? What do you mean, owls? How many times have we been to JFK or Idlewild? Did you ever see an owl?
I never saw an owl.
Well, what is the deal with that?
Never saw an owl at JFK.
I've spent owls waiting for a plane, but anyway, I'm just telling you, and I'm not criticizing those people who do anything and don't. I don't feel I can help anybody do anything, and I don't think I can. I'm worse than any cause. No cause needs me. And what can I do? What can I do to help you? I can't do anything.
You're a rebel without a cause.
I'm a rebel without a clue. I don't know what to say.
Rebel without a clue.
Remember.
Don't feel that way. I do feel like
I know you do.
Right? I'm an agent of change.
Yeah, I don't get it. I'm like, you know, Marlon Brando in this famous movie where The Wild One.
Uh-huh.
And they go up to him and they go like, cause you know, he's the guy and they go, hey, what are you revolting against? And he goes, what do you got? And that's the, like, let's just do it to do it. Okay. So I don't know. I'm not a voice in the wilderness. I'm lost in the wilderness of it all. But I'm not, I don't want to make this about me. I think it's okay. And I think it's good that, people do things like you do, that, uh-huh. and that you even, I can't feel it. I'm numbed. That's what I mean. I'm like numb from all of this stuff. I really don't know where to find a rat's ass, but if I had one, I couldn't give it.
That's well,
who gets a, I would give a rat's ass. Who keeps rat's asses that they wouldn't give it? Who keeps them in the house?
I'm a special, special
refrigerator over here.
Give a rat's ass.
I catch the things and I immediately rip its anus out and I put it in that refrige. And I wouldn't give it to anybody.
I wouldn't give a rat's ass. But
what?
Well, I
God bless you, Thomas.
I don't know.
God bless you.
I do feel lately, in the last 10 years of my life or something, I get really – I do think I get too riled up about some of these things. You know?
Well, if it's detrimental to you, if you have like blood pressure issues or something, I mean, then yes, it is. It is bad. It's not worth it. We got to get you your own show. You need to have your own show so you can talk about things that I would never address with any seriousness whatsoever because I'm pretty much ready for the straitjacket.
I would like that.
Everybody actually. Out there who's listening, if they'd like to have Tom, find a Tom to get his own show, which would be great, you know, if you were on and you followed me, because it's early out there.
Yeah.
That would be great. You could just come on and do an hour or 2 hours, whatever you want to do. I'm going to work that out because Tom has a lot to say and he could probably get some good guests and he would follow me and then you could listen to me and then you could listen to Tom. And then when Tom's on here, he's on here and then I'll just stay away from his show because I will contribute nothing.
Because you don't give a rat's ass.
And I don't give a rat's ass. I've got them all though, right here in this little fridge. I got a rat's ass on ice. Yes, right, it's Cthulhu Chronicles. What do you learn from Cthulhu Chronicles? What did you learn last night? I learned how to put rat's asses on ice.
I learned that it's not an equinox, it's a solstice. It's an equinox, not a solstice.
What the frack is wrong with you anyway? And when next week Kurt Brando will be here, there will be he's very dry. You know,
I'm going to listen.
It's not like you and I, because we're kind of raucous laugh. We just.
If I listen, can I like tweet you or send e?
Sure, we'll keep it open. We'll keep it open, and you can do that. You could email, or you could whatever do. I don't know. You could be involved somehow.
All right.
Well, just enjoy it if you can.
Well, you know, like some of your listeners occasionally tweet. Or send you.
Yeah, okay, you can do it. No problem. That's just, I have no problem with that.
Can't
at all.
You take yes for an answer?
You're stupid. Oh, crap. I don't know what to say other than it's always a guess to be here. Maybe we should just drop the whole thing and do this show every week. And that's it. Well, people on, and that's it. Maybe we'll think of something. Write to me, fcatolo@yahoo.com, or frank@148.ca, and any other number of places you could find. Google me, find you. You could get me. Go to Facebook.
Hey, I need five followers to get 200.
Where? At Facebook?
Win a coupon Twitter? On TJ Savino at Twitter.
Okay, good. That's right, at TJ Savino at Twitter, and we'll go over there and get him there. You could go over and that's, you know, time is definitely up. I hate to say this, but it looks to me like time is up. So we're going to have to scoot out of here. But anyway, I think we covered everything you needed to know about spring. The season we are now involved in, is now around us. Unless you're down under, it's going to be winter down under.
Oh yeah. I thought you were going to play springtime.
That's what we should have played. We should have played Springtime for Hitler instead of this. Let's play this over the other one. Tom, don't go away, Tom. You and I will talk off camera. Off camera? Yeah, we're on camera too. You know what we should do next time? drop acid. Okay. Tom, thank you. Tom Savino, we'll
You're
be back
welcome.
Next
Bye,
month.
Everybody.
Don't hang up, Tom. And that's for all of you out there. I'll see you around. You know where to get me. You know where to find me. Kurt Brandow next week. Then coming up, we got Cambodian Cocktails and Robin Matthews. Not all the same night. Good night, Mrs. Erstwhile, wherever you are. Go out and buy my books, because one of these days I'd like to know what a royalty check looks like. It would be interesting to see that. And what else? We'll be seeing you around. New blogs, old blogs. Do what you got to do, okay? And don't bother me with it. I won't bother you with it. See you next time. I'm going to leave now. And Tom is leaving now because I have nothing more to say.